Hello there, Bernie Miklas with you, and welcome to another week of the Bernie Miklas Show here on the YouTube channel. And I hope you all had a good weekend. I'm going to get right down to it. You can tell by this hat I'm wearing, and I've worn it quite a few times, but just in case you don't know, this is the cap of the Dominican Winter League team that Albert Pujols managed this past season, Escogido. And so I guess you can kind of tell where I'm going to go with this. Listen, I know that I've talked a lot about Albert Pujols as a potential major league manager, and I'm doing it again, and I'm doing it again only because there's a new development in the story where Pujols, in effect, set a timetable about when he wants to manage in the big league. So let's get into it. There's a lot to cover. I have some good stuff towards the end, too, as well, in terms of his experience and history. He's great players. Can they be good managers? They're actually not nearly as bad as people say that it is, in my opinion. But anyway, let's dive in. What Pujols said over the weekend puts the Cardinals in a bit of a quandary. Well, at least a potential quandary, because if he wants to manage in the majors and he wants to do that soon, you know, I'm going to be totally blunt here. I don't see how the Cardinals could decline the opportunity to hire him. I don't see any reason to kind of tiptoe around that. I mean, if Ollie Marmol wins a World Series, would that, you know, kind of change things a little bit? Maybe, I don't know. But who do you want guiding your franchise in the future? And let's just say that, by the way, this is a joke. Let's just say that Buck Showalter's not actually an alternative. Anyway, let's get busy with this. Ollie Marmol's contract extension with the Cardinals expires after the 26th season. And yeah, it's an awkward situation with Albert Pujols saying, yeah, I want to manage. I want to manage soon. I'll tell you more about that. Is this fair to Marmol? It's awkward, but is it fair? Well, with all due respect for Ollie, and I mean that, it really doesn't matter whether it's fair or not. As I've said before, and I'm going to say it again, if Albert Pujols wants to manage the Cardinals, then the Cardinals need to give him their managing job. No reason whatsoever to be too scared to say that in a video or to write it in a column. The stakes are just way too large for the Cardinals, in my opinion, to be reluctant about hurting someone's feelings. John Mozeliak, with Bill DeWitt's approval, already has sacked two managers, Mike Matheny and Mike Schilt. And both of those guys, if you're just going to go bottom line record, both of those guys have won more than what Marmol has won as the Cardinals manager, even though, yeah, there's some difference in the quality of the roster. But again, those two guys, whatever problems they may have had, had pretty good numbers, pretty good success, real good success for the most part. We won't talk about all of Matheny's screw-ups because you know that already. There's no point rehashing that. But listen, he was fine about getting a team to the playoffs. It's what happened after that. Anyway, if anyone says it would be unfair to fire Ollie Marmol, well, again, maybe take a time out to remember how Ollie got the job. He was promoted by Mozeliak after Schilt was unexpectedly terminated after the 2021 season, despite winning NL Manager of the Year award in 2019, finishing third in the voting in 2021, leading the Redbirds to the playoffs in each of his three full seasons, and leading the Cardinals to their first victory in a postseason round since 2014. Was that a fair dismissal? Did he deserve to be fired based on baseball? I don't know. I mean, that was a harsh firing, and Schilt much more successful as a Cardinals manager than Marmol. The Cardinals are dealing with difficult challenges. Again, there's a bigger picture here. The Cardinals are dealing with difficult challenges that they really haven't had to contend with in a long, long time. You'd have to go all the way back to the 90s before Bill DeWitt and his partners purchased the team right around Christmas time in 1995. And the Cardinals, as we know, and gosh, many of you are very upset. And I don't blame you. The Cardinals have experienced a decline in home attendance and local TV ratings. And that trend's going to continue. I'm pretty sure it's going to get worse in 2025 unless this team is much, much, much better than expected. And for the first time ever, the Cardinals are offering, it's there now for you, a direct-to-consumer streaming package to their fans where there's no blackout problems and things like that. No blackouts. If the Cardinals are at home, it doesn't matter. If you subscribe and it's not a national game, you watch all you want. Now, the Cardinals do want to give their customers a reason to sign up for this streaming package, right? And they do want them to buy tickets more than they did last year. The franchise has a lot of motivation to win back the fans and to stop the bleeding. Because, again, it could only get worse. And the reason I'm bringing this up, hey, when Pujols' team won the Caribbean Series, which is a big deal, I didn't even do a video on it because I kind of made my point about, hey, if Pujols wants to manage, I don't know when it's going to be. Gosh, what is that going to mean for the Cardinals? What do they do if it happens, you know, if he's ready? Well, the only reason I'm doing a video today is because he spoke out about that over the weekend, not the Cardinals specifically, but he actually set a timetable for becoming a major league manager. And this is the first time he's ever put a timetable on it. After arriving for his annual spring training gig as an instructor at the Angels camp, it's part of his personal services contract, Pujols met with reporters and discussed his ambition to manage. Pujols said, and I quote, "Time will tell whenever the opportunity comes. If there is some team knocking this year or next year, then why not? If there is any club knocking on the door, I would be open to hear that." So you notice he said this year, maybe somebody fires a manager along the way before you get to the end of the season. And he said next year, well, that would be the start of the 2026 season. And Pujols, no matter where he goes, if he goes anywhere, he would start fresh as the manager. Now, Pujols has agreed to manage the Dominican Republic team in the 2026 World Baseball Classic, but it's really not a factor. Here's why. Because if he has a chance to manage, he will have already been hired this season if somebody fires their manager and Pujols wants the job, and if it's offered to him. And if a team offers him a job after 2025, obviously he's going to go to spring training and manage that team throughout, and he would withdraw as the manager of the DR team in the 26 World Baseball Classic. I mean, this is not even a factor because – Joe, don't forget, World Best Baseball Classic teams from all the nations, they don't even have their camps to get ready for the WBC until after spring training opens. By then, Pujols would already be in place. He'd be in place for a long time before then, and the DR would have all the time it needs to bring in a new manager. So that is not a factor at all. And about, I feel like covering all these things I think might come up. Like after I do the video, if I didn't bring them up. So I'm bringing them up. And about that post-playing career personal services contract, Pujols signed with the Angels when he went there to Anaheim as a free agent before the 2012 season. Forget about it. It's just not a factor. It's not relevant at all. It is just nothing to it because it is in his contract. If he is offered a big league managing job, he is free to go. Period. Simple. Bye. No, it's not anything to stress out over, yet it's always brought up. And I think we in the media, including me, have done a bad job pointing out that there's nothing blocking him from taking a manager's job. So just let that be clear. Listen, Pujols, I think, had a fantastic year as a manager at any level for the first time. He managed, again, Leones del Escogido, his favorite childhood team growing up in the DR. Escogido had not won a Dominican Winter League championship since 2016, and Pujols got him there to the title in his first shot ever at managing. And it wasn't all. The triumph qualified Escogido for a spot in the Caribbean Series, as I alluded to, and manager Pujols guided the club to its first Caribbean Series championship for Escogido since 2012. Now, the experience convinced Pujols he's ready to manage in the majors, and I can understand why. A big reason for that is the way he dealt with the extreme, and I mean extreme chaos of trying to manage a team in the Winter League down in the DR. Let me put it to you this way. They had a 49-game regular season. Escogido used 37 different position players and 46 different players. Excuse me. Let me do that again. 37 different position players and 46 different pitchers. That means 83 players cycled through in and out through Pujols' rookie season as a skipper. And it's true of all those teams down there, but Pujols got his team to peak at the right time of the year. a manager in that winter league, and especially someone who's never done it before, they got to be really quick to come up with plans on how to use personnel, because literally the roster's changing every single day. And Pujols, I think it probably was difficult for him at first because, oh my gosh, all these players coming and going, right? Sometimes without any real notice. He did an admirable job of navigating through all of the pandemonium. In particular, he was praised for the way he handled the team's young players who really responded to his calming influence and his teaching and his enthusiasm in terms of taking a personal interest in their careers and their growth. And that's something that, to me, is a huge check mark for Albert Pujols managing in the major leagues, especially for a team that's going to have a younger roster. Now, listen, now that he has declared himself, now that Albert said, yeah, okay, I want to manage in the big leagues, and I want to manage by this time or 2026. Okay, he's laid it all out. So it puts the Cardinals in a unique spot. And I really just have to say this again. Anybody who's going to try to say otherwise, come on, man. Come on, women. Let's be real here, okay? We already talked about Marmol. Number two is the new president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom, taking over for Mozeliak, as you know, after the 2025 season. We have no idea how Bloom would see or feel about Pujols as a potential manager. We just don't know. But given Bloom's extensive background in Tampa Bay, he was there from 2005 or 6 through 2018, I believe. The Tampa Bay Rays had notable first-time managers, never been a manager in the big leagues before. Talking about Joe Maddon, we're talking about Kevin Cash. Two guys that did really well there on a really the smallest or second smallest, depending on the year, payroll in the major leagues, many of those years anyway. Listen, we don't know if Bloom is inclined to keep Marmol in place. We don't know if Bloom has another manager in mind, perhaps someone who understands the value of using advanced data for tactical advantages, plus using it for lineup construction and pitching plans. That is going to be a major, and I mean major, improvement in the Cardinals baseball operation going forward beyond 2025, because the Cardinals are way behind in this area. Listen, Pujols isn't anti-analytics, because Pujols loves to win. He was relentless in his chase of winning as much as he could, winning as much as he did as a St. Louis Cardinal. But as far as like being a totally immersed in analytics, I don't know. But I also want to point out something. You know, Pujols turned his late career around when after he got a release from the Angels, he went to the Los Angeles Dodgers and had a couple of, well, I don't know how many months it was, but he had a really good bounce back, and it happened immediately. And Pujols has said that the Dodgers really revived his career. He gives him credit for opening his eyes to some things he had to do differently. And one of those things, I would imagine, is just watching how manager Dave Roberts works closely every day with the front office to go over lineups and pitching and to give readouts of different analytics that can help the manager. See, these front offices, by the way, this happens with every team. It happens with every team. It's nothing new. I don't know why at least some people generally, not St. Louis, but just baseball fans in general, think this stuff just started happening. You know, why would a manager not want information that can help him win? And that's what it comes down to. And Albert Pujols is absolutely driven to win. So I think he saw how the front office and the manager worked together. You know, and they were in alignment about, all right, what's the best way we're going to get through this game tonight based on the personnel that's available? Again, not a big deal. Don't know why people make it a big deal. As we know, I think all of us would agree with this. He's unpopular because of his affiliation with Mozeliak, but that's also irrelevant to this discussion. Can you imagine Chaim Bloom in his first move as the boss passes on an opportunity to hire Albert Pujols to stay with Marmol? Like Pujols is available, and Pujols is, they say, nah, that's okay. And he sticks with Marmol. And I can't even comprehend the reaction to that. Did Bloom take the job believing he'd have the freedom to hire his own manager? Is it, if he did, was given that freedom, do you think Chaim Bloom would you know, kind of smell the coffee a little bit and get a good read on maybe what's best for the Cardinals at that moment in time. What would happen if ownership would try to nudge Bloom to hire Pujols? Can you imagine the widespread anger if another team hires Pujols after the Cardinals said no thanks to Albert Pujols? Can you imagine what it would be like for the Cardinals fans and for Chaim Bloom and for Bill DeWitt to watch Pujols lead another team to success after the Cardinals snubbed him, the second greatest position player they've ever had in their franchise, one of the greatest, greatest, greatest players in the history, hitters in the history of Major League Baseball? You're going to say, well, you're not qualified? Really? Is that right? All these young managers being hired everywhere without any extensive experience or basically no major league managerial experience whatsoever, but you're going to tell Pujols that he's not experienced enough? He needs to go, what, work an apprenticeship somewhere? Really? Did the Cardinals say that to Mike Matheny? I'm pretty sure they didn't. That's me being funny. Of course they didn't. He never had a formal job coaching in the minor leagues, the majors, never managed anywhere. And they didn't hesitate to give him the job, did they? So I don't really want to hear that. I don't want to hear about Pujols not having enough experience, because anybody who's actually paid attention to the really, really substantial changes in Major League Baseball and the practices of hiring managers would know that Pujols being hired by the Cardinals or any other team is basically the way it is being done now. Not with all 30 teams, but by and large, this is the way it's being done now. But you're going to tell Albert Pujols, you're going to tell him, in effect, he's not qualified. But Mike Matheny was. Yeah, I had a pause there. Okay. All kinds of first-time big league managers have done well. Cleveland's Stephen Vogt won the American League Manager of the Year award in 2024. He had brief coaching experience in the majors. Matt Quatraro comes out of the Tampa Bay system. He did manage some in the minor leagues, but he was a first-time manager in Kansas City, led him to the playoffs this past season. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Five rookie managers have won a World Series. Eddie Dyer with the 46 Cardinals, Ralph Houck with the 61 Yankees, Bucky Harris with the 1924 Senators, Bob Brenly with the 2001 Diamondbacks. And then we talk about experience, okay? Craig Counsell played in the major leagues. So did Albert Pujols. And I think, call me crazy, but I would say Pujols had a much greater major league career than Craig Counsell, although Craig Counsell had a fine career. But, you know, Counsell, even though he worked for a scout for about a season, he never coached in the minors. He never managed in the minors. But the budget conscience, budget, low budget, smaller budget payroll Brewers hired him, and he led them to three division titles and five postseasons. He never had one day of experience in a dugout in the minor leagues or the major leagues as a coach. Larry Durker, my old friend from Houston, he came out of the broadcast booth after an excellent career as a starting pitcher, but he came out of the broadcast booth and he won four division titles in Houston. Aaron Boone's got a 584 winning percentage and 7-for-7 and getting the Yankees to the playoffs. Yeah, the payroll helps. You better believe it. But you either win or you don't. And Boone never had any managing or coaching job in organized baseball at the time the Yankees hired him. And then there's, don't forget about Rob Thompson. He took over for Joe Girardi in Philadelphia. And he's got a pennant and a 575 winning percentage in his two-plus seasons in Philadelphia. Yeah, longtime coach, but he never managed. There are so many, many, many more examples, but I don't want to just keep adding minutes to this video. But I do have to cover something else. And I hope you made it this far, because I think you're going to learn something. I hope so anyway. It's said a lot that it's like, well, you know, Pujols, gosh, love him. Gosh, what a great player. Gosh, but it's a risk. It's really a risk, because great players traditionally aren't good managers. Well, that's way, way, way overstated, okay? And I think we have an example of actually a couple of examples close to home. You know, when Red Chaney's got voted into the Hall of Fame, and I double checked this, he was chosen by, you know, in 1989. I wanted to make sure he was voted in as a player in 1989, not as player, manager, player. And if you go through his major league career, I mean, this guy was not like this incredible star, but man, he was a really good big league player for a long time, a winning player for a long time. So Red Chaney was a Hall of Fame baseball player, and he was a coach with the Cardinals. He never managed in the Cardinals system, but he was a coach, Johnny Keene in particular. And then he became a coach. He was coaching until he became the manager in 65. And he won two pennants in the 1967 World Series, two pennants in the World Series as the manager of the Cardinals. He's a Hall of Fame player. I mean, what? I think we all agree the redhead was a pretty damn good manager in St. Louis, right? Joe Torre was a Most Valuable Player Award winner in the National League and a National League batting champion in St. Louis. In his playing career, he made seven All-Star teams. As the manager of the Atlanta Braves, he led them to a division title, and they hadn't been there in a long time. He won six pennants and four World Series titles as the Yankees manager. And if you think, well, that's easy. They had all the money, Bernie. They had ownership just spending like crazy. Look at how many managers that George Steinbrenner chewed up and spit out. It's really, really hard to manage for George Steinbrenner. And more than any manager he ever had, Joe Torre knew exactly how to work it to keep the boss, as they called him, relatively calm. And then after the Yankees got tired of him, just because they're the Yankees, right? Not because of anything he did wrong. Joe went to the West Coast and he led the Dodgers to two division titles in his three seasons there. Then he said, I'm kind of done with managing. And he retired after that third season. Dusty Baker will absolutely 100% be voted into the Hall of Fame as a manager after what he did, like in terms of leading so many different teams to the playoffs, finally winning a World Series with the Astros. He had a 19-season playing career that included multiple All-Star selections, two Silver Slugger Awards, one Gold Glove. He had MVP votes in three or four seasons. He had just under 2,000 major league hits and more than 1,000 RBIs. I repeat, he's going to be a Hall of Fame manager, whether you agree with that or not. No disrespect intended. It doesn't matter, because it doesn't even matter what I think if I didn't agree with that. He will be a Hall of Fame manager. I mean, it's like a slam dunk. So Dusty Baker was a hell of a baseball player for a long time. And I'm going to go way back when, but again, we have to do this. And I know there's some other examples, and I don't want to go through all of them, but I'm going to the ones that caught my eye and the ones that I know through following baseball history and reading about it. Walter Johnson was on the short list of the greatest pitchers of all time, probably top 10 for sure. And after pitching for the Washington Senators, he managed them. And he had a .570 winning percentage in his four seasons as their manager. And then he had winning records in Cleveland as well. Another Senator who I mentioned earlier, Bucky Harris, he was a heralded infielder for 12 major league seasons, considered one of the smartest players in the game. And when his career wound down, he became the manager of the Senators, and he won two pennants for them, He won two pennants and a World Series for the Senators. And then later on, he went to New York and won a World Series as a manager of the Yankees. That's another really good baseball player with a distinguished career who did very well as a manager. I even say Ted Williams, because I'm familiar with the circumstances, having grown up near Washington. Ted Williams won 86 games as a rookie manager for the Senators after he took over a team that had won 65 games the year before. Instant improvement, dramatic improvement. But the Senators were preparing to move the team. There was some payroll slashing. The owner, Bob Short, didn't care. They moved to Texas. The whole thing kind of fell apart. Ted got sick of it and just said, I've had enough. But when he was fired up to go and he had a chance to win, he improved that team by 31 games in his first season. Mel Ott he had three winning seasons in his 6 years as manager of the New York Giants after he took over a team that had two straight losing records. No wild cards in those days. You either win the entire league or you're out. There's no postseason. You had to win the entire league. There's no playoffs. Frank Robinson is a really special case for me because he was a lot better manager than people think. He had to manage a series of teams that were pretty lousy before he got there, but he did a really nice job of improving those clubs. He was a kind of a Mr. Fix-It man. Cleveland, now listen to this. Cleveland had a 4.33 winning percentage in the seasons. I think it was six seasons, six or seven seasons before hiring Robinson as the first black manager in Major League history. So they had a 4.33 winning percentage in over more than 5 years, 5 or 6 years, 7 years at tops. I just didn't write that down, and I apologize, but I looked it up. 4.33 winning percentage for a long time, over a long period of time before they hired him as manager. In his first two full seasons, he had a 5.03 winning percentage. I mean, so don't tell me he's not a good manager. He was a good manager. He led a turnaround in Baltimore in 1989, where a really, really horrible Orioles team seemed hopeless. And they went down to the final days of the season with a chance to win a division title. I mean, I remember, you know, going to some of those games, even though I was working in St. Louis, I had a vacation. I went over to, I just wanted to see this team. It was unbelievable. The fact that they were chasing down, I guess it was the Yankees at that time. And then you look at Robinson, his stop in Montreal. The Expos had a 4.27 winning percentage in the five seasons before hiring him. In his first two seasons, they had a 5.12 winning percentage, 2002 and 2003. So they go from being a 4.27 team winning percentage 5 years and then immediately over 500 for 2 years. And after having a bad 67-95 record in the team's final season in Montreal, that's because everyone knew they were leaving. The fans weren't showing up. Ownership didn't care, like right on down the line. It was just one of those lost years, and they cut payroll and all that. So they were bad in that final year in Montreal, but then they go to Washington and he leads the Nationals to an 81-81 season his first year. 67 wins to 81 wins. He did that twice, in effect, as the manager of Montreal / Washington. Finally. I'm sure some of you are going to ask, well, what about Yadier Molina? Okay, what about him? One of the greats, one of the great Cardinals ever, one of the greatest coaches ever, catchers ever, sorry. In the history of baseball. But the Cardinals, come on now, Cardinals gave Molina a consultant advisor contract before the 2024 season, and he agreed to it, right? Never showed up. Then they extended, before this training camp, they extended an invitation for him to come to spring training this year. He isn't showing up. My point is, Molina had a chance to get involved with the Cardinals in a way that could have given him the inside path, to the Cardinals manager's job, and he passed on those opportunities. What do you want me to say, right? Would you want Albert Pujols, who says, oh gosh, it's my dream to be the Cardinals manager, and if they call, I'll take it. I won't even hesitate. I mean, you want that, or a guy that's given an opportunity twice to get involved in the organization and on the field level in terms of spring training, and he said, nah, I'm good. I don't know about you. That's kind of a turnoff for me. It has nothing to do with how great Yadier Molina was as a Cardinals catcher. Separate issue. Look, the Cardinals can do whatever the heck they want. If they want to bypass making a colossal move that would instantly re-energize their fans, create instant excitement, stimulate the enthusiasm for buying tickets and those streaming packages, well, if they want to do that, it's their business. In other words, if they want to lose more business, go ahead. If you own the team, run it the way you want. If they want to wave off a chance to make themselves relevant on the national stage again, okay. And if they want to lose more business because the prestige will continue to go down, 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 and if they're ever going to get back in the free agent game, let me ask you this. You're a player. And the money's kind of equal. Would you want to play for Ollie Marmol or would you want to play for Albert Pujols? I don't know. I know kind of the way I would feel, and I think you can probably figure out what that is. But I decline to sit here and look the other way and pretend that Pujols' desire to manage is something the Cardinals can kind of just brush off. It's no big deal. such a brush off actually would be a very big deal, and it would likely blow up into another fan relations fiasco for a team that has been really, really striking out time and time and time again about getting their fans fired up and in the mood to rush down to Busch Stadium. Now, some of you would say, well, it could be a mistake to hire him. We don't know what kind of manager he's going to be. How the heck do we know how many managers are going to be unless it's someone like a proven track record like Tony La Russa? And, you know, to those who say it'd be a mistake to hire Pujols, and some people say, well, it'd be a mistake because you'd have to fire him. Yeah, I think Albert knows that. I think Albert Pujols is aware of how that works, right? I mean, the guy that he played for, Tony La Russa, primarily, got fired after being a really good manager of the White Sox. And then he went to Oakland. And then they pulled the rug out from under him, and he became St. Louis. Yeah, managers come and go, man. That's the way it is. Even greats. I mean, even like big name managers. So if you say, well, it'd be a mistake to hire Pujols, I love him, but it'd be a mistake. Well, to that, I would say it would be a much bigger mistake to not hire him. That's just my opinion. I appreciate you for watching, and thanks. Look forward to reading your comments underneath today's Bernie Miklas Show video. Thank you again.